This is the Recency Bias, except special edition, special Habs are up 2-1 in the Stanley Cup semifinal edition. I got Sean O'Neill here. Sup, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Woo-hoo.
How's it fucking going?
It's going good. It's going good on this Saturday afternoon. We delayed the Recency Bias a little bit to recover from the celebrations on Friday night. The Habs are up 2-1.
Is this somewhat serious question? Is this going to be the happiest podcast we've ever done?
Probably, yeah. there was the one after we beat the Leafs. I mean,
yeah, there was that, and I'm sure if we went back a few of those wins over the Bruins, maybe. But like we were talking about this last night a little bit, this is probably the biggest win since '93.
Yeah, I asked that
again. Not a series win. It's a game. Yeah. It's a game win, you know, let's all tap the brakes a little bit. But like. Biggest single game win since '93. You could easily make that argument.
You can easily, of course. I was asking if that was the case with the game two win, really, because like we haven't been even in or realistically even. I don't remember how the series broke in 2010 and 2014 exactly when they finally got to the conference final. But at no point in either of those series were you like, I think the Habs could win this thing, really. Especially like because Price went out so early, so there was never, you know, there's a lot of hope tied to this win. Like this one seems like it could matter. Whereas even some, I know they didn't get swept by New York or Philly, but it never felt like they were maybe going to take the thing. The win on Friday night in Game 3, that was a real one.
Yeah, it was crazy. So 2010. Habs get shut out in games 1 and 2. They come back with a nice win in game 3 to make it 2-1, and then they drop the next two. Like never
right.
really in it all. Yeah, never really in it all that much. Eastern Conference Final 2014. Price goes out in game 1. They lose that one 7-2.
Yeah.
And at that point it seemed like a fait accompli. Anyways, they did rally to win games 3 and 5 to push them to 6, but never really.
So again, they never had a series lead, and they were even at 2-2, I guess, in the New York series.
No, even then they were down.
Oh, they were down 3-1 and then 3-2?
They were down 3-1, got the sort of, you know, yeah. Made it 3-2 and then bowed out in 6. So yeah, they've never had you know, this is the first time since '93 that they've had a lead in a conference final or whatever the hell you want to call this.
Calling it the Stanley Cup semifinal, I guess. And the Habs
works for me.
The Habs stole one in game 3. There's no denying that.
Jesus,
but
did they ever.
In a weird way, stealing one is what makes it feel all the more important. You know what I mean? Like when you steal a win like that in those wins happen. Wins like those are what you need to have happen, especially if you're the Montreal Canadiens, it seems, looking back at their history, at least since the mid-80s. Like, those are kind of the wins on the way to the thing. And we'll get into some of the moments that some of us are already tweeting about the Stanley Cup DVD late at night. Those are some of the moments that are kind of expected or what you look for on the way to these runs. And those moments didn't really happen in the other two, but I'm starting to feel like, I mean, the Marc-Andre Fleury fuck up is going to be iconic if the Habs actually do anything going from here on out. That was a moment. I mean, we've got the Corey Perry bloody nose. That's a moment from that game. And going back, you got the wink from Carey Price. You got the wink from Corey Perry to Carey Price. Like, there's a lot of little things, and apparently they're all Corey Perry and Carey Price. But there's a lot of little things right now that seem to be adding up. There's the, you know, Cole Caulfield coming in. Again, I'm not saying the Habs are gonna win the Stanley Cup. They're up 2-1 in the semifinal. Let's not get carried away. Don't get it twisted here. But if they were to, these are the kind of moments that you usually start building on that way, on the way to that success.
Last night, and maybe this is just the afterglow of a big win, an iconic win. Last night was the first time where I really felt like this team could maybe win the Stanley Cup.
Yes, agreed.
We're still a long ways away. I get that. You know, they're still, you know, Vegas is not drastically so, but Vegas has outplayed them through 3 games, and they're a really good team. And then they're presumably going to have the defending Stanley Cup champions waiting for them on the other end. So there's still a lot of uphill sledding to go, but last night really did feel like one of those wins that when you buy the championship DVD, it's just one of those crazy moments. Like, I will never, even though parts of my memory from last night are a little bit fuzzy, that's mostly after the game because I was celebrating. I won't forget those two goals by Josh Anderson. They were just, you know, those go down in Habs lore. I mean, if they win the cup, they really go down as sort of all-time moments. And even if they don't, those are two pretty iconic moments, I think.
For people who have been listening to us pod throughout this playoff run, we've often said, you know, in marveling at what Carey Price has been doing, we have continued to go to the refrain of, but he really hasn't had to do a Halakian effort yet. You know, there hasn't been one of those nights where they were outshot ridiculously and he's standing on his head. That changed in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup semifinal. Carey Price was Halakian. Fuck Halakian. He was Pricean. It's a new metric, and he was amazing. Didn't have to make necessarily miraculous saves. He made a few that were borderline miraculous. I'm not going to take that away. Yeah. But, you know, just they peppered him all night. The shots were 45-27 when all is said and done, and that is generous to the Canadians because their overtime was pretty effective. Yeah. In the third period, I think they actually did outshoot the Knights 9-8 or something when all is said and done. But, it was Carey Price's game. I mean, the first two periods, it was all Vegas. And, we might as well go over what happens in this game. Let's start with the big story, which we haven't even touched on yet, as we're marveling at the win here. But Dom Ducharme not behind the bench for this game because he tested positive for COVID, proving that what happens in Vegas doesn't necessarily stay in Vegas if it's COVID. So he now seems like he's going to be out 2 weeks, so that no matter what happens in this round, he won't be back. So Luke Richardson behind the bench for his first head coaching game. This is the second year in a row in which the Habs have lost their head coach in the midst of a playoff run. Very bizarre. So that's the kind of the backdrop that this game got started under. And it looked like the Canadians maybe were missing the Dom Ducharme pregame speech because they didn't get out to a good start at all. They just did not have their legs in the early going. And it was enough to get a little bit worried from the drop that, oh shit, maybe they're about to get their faces blown off in this one. And you see like Kotkaniemi, who he's having a bit of a rough series. He takes a hooking call. Pacioretty would get a chance at the end of the power play. That was a pretty good kill, but Price made one of his first real big saves there. The shots at that point were 11-0, Sean, for Vegas at the end of that Kotkaniemi penalty.
Yeah. They came out flat, and you couldn't really blame them. And they're, despite what happened with Julien last year, which I frankly had totally forgotten about until yesterday, but, you know, they were dealing with some pretty unprecedented circumstances. So you can blame the team necessarily for coming out flat, but they looked so dead. Certainly in the first period, they picked up a little bit in the second period, but they got drastically outplayed through the first 40 minutes. And you mentioned this, but I mean that's, you know, when you've got Carey Price just standing on his head and single-handedly keeping the team in a game. And I think yesterday was the first time where we really saw that, where it was really a one-man show, frankly, at least the first 55 minutes or whatever. You can't let that go to waste.
No, you can't.
It would have felt like such a wasted effort if you know, we kept it close, but Vegas scores late and rolls on. And, you know, if you let that game go to waste, I think it's an entirely different series. But they didn't. They got some, you know, they kept it, or Price kept it close enough, and then they got a couple of crazy bounces and you know, tied it late, and then won it relatively early in overtime. And you know, they go up 2-1 in the series, and it's great to see Price sort of get rewarded for that effort, because it really would have been a shame to have that, you know, 45 save be all for naught.
Yeah, he had one huge save in the first 20 minutes. Nick Roy had a breakaway, and Price made it look super easy, as he did all night. There was one chance for Armia on the penalty kill that it looked like he might get one on Fleury. Shots were 17-3 in the first period, but the Habs come out of that one 0-0. And so, like, at that point I was saying, okay, that's really bad for the Canadians. Outshot 17-3, and the, you know, high danger chances were all over. It was just completely lopsided. But at that was the first point where I was like, this also might be bad for Vegas, because they did what they hadn't been able to do so far in the series, which was start strong. Montreal had at least had the first 10 minutes of both games, if not the first period, through those first two games, and then Vegas would kind of do their push. This one, Vegas was pushing immediately and didn't really get anything. Well, didn't get at anything because of Price's performance to hold it 0-0. And that was where I was like, okay, this is not good, but it's also maybe good. Like, I've watched enough playoff games in my years to know that if you don't score when you dominate like that, it can come back to haunt you. And that's exactly what happened in this one. I mean, the Stahl would put them in a tough spot in the second with a horrible giveaway to the aforementioned Nick Waugh, who just is right in front all by himself. Eric Stahl was already had thrown his head back and like, oh fuck, what did I do, before the puck was even in the net. But it didn't take long before little goal Caulfield on a break. You know, I'm not used to believing in guys on breakaways. After all these years of Habs guys who, for the most part, don't seem to score on breakaways. You know, you don't have your Connor McDavids or your Austin Matthews who you feel like, okay, this thing's going to be buried. But Cole Caulfield, man, him I believe in, and he believes in himself. He went roof on Marc-Andre Fleury, who he kind of made look silly compared to what Price was doing on breakaways the other way.
Yeah. And would not be the last time that Marc-Andre Fleury looked silly.
No, because in the third, well, Petrangelo. Let's talk about Petrangelo first, because he scored both in this one for Vegas. And what a monster of a player he is! Like, what an acquisition for Vegas. I think that's. Oh, he didn't score both. I don't know why I thought he did. He only had one goal.
Well, I scored. It seems like he's been everywhere this series. And. I mean, you could certainly make the argument that he's the best defenseman on the planet.
I think so. I had him. I know. I hate.
I think I would give it to Hedman, but
that's fair.
Petrangelo's at least in the conversation. He's one of the three or four best defensemen in the world.
He just does so many things.
He's a really special player.
Yeah. He scored his fourth. I forgot that it was Hua who scored that first one for them, but he scored three of their last four goals. Petrangelo, just Nick Waugh managed to get one in there. Max Pacioretty getting a point on the Petrangelo goal that came just a couple minutes into the third period. Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone, the same story that we've seen so far in the first two rounds of the playoffs for the Canadiens. The monster line of the opposition is being absolutely silenced, and so far, knock on wood, that has been the case in this series. The Danilo line doing everything once again to shut down the big guys. Pacioretty and Stone have had their chances. Stone being robbed by Price a few times. Pacioretty missing, getting robbed a few times, but hitting a few posts, which keep missing, Patches. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, it's funny. We were wondering if the Danilo line would be able to sort of shut down Vegas' top line, because Vegas, unlike every other contender, kind of weak down the middle.
Especially without Stevenson.
So, you know, it's not like where you would just have Deneau shadowing the other team's like number one center, and that's the recipe to shut it down. It's a bit of a different calculation. But so far, they've done a good job. Like you said, it's not like those guys aren't getting chances.
No, they're getting chances.
And presumably, they're going to bury a few at some point, I think. We need to sort of mentally brace ourselves for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that shutdown line has just been absolutely incredible.
And then just when things were looking bleak, it looked like that Petrangelo goal from early in the third was going to hold them the rest of the way.
I'd pretty much given up after that goal. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I thought... Giving up
is strong, but I mean, you know, I mean, the clock was ticking and we were playing relatively well, but I mean, it's, you know... It did seem like, all right, guys, he kept it close for as long as he could, and good on you. And Price had a great effort, but, you know, just not going to be able to score enough tonight to get the win.
Well, turns out Marc-Andre Fleury had other ideas. And if you go back and listen to a few pods, it was said, you know what might help the Habs in this series? Sometimes Marc-Andre Fleury fucks himself over. And boy, did he ever on Friday night. Thank you, Math. That was magnificent, a perfect, just a thank you, Pierre Maguire, I guess, as well, who apparently on the NBC feed had said moments, or seconds, I guess, before the incident that, I was going to see if I could do a Pierre Maguire impression, but I'm not really sure what that sounds like, but he had said, I don't even know what it would sound, I guess yelling, and saying small towns, but he was like, oh, Marc-Andre Fleury's stick handling has been great in this series so far. And then Fleury, I guess, heard him and was like, watch this. And Josh Anderson, who me and the folks I was watching the game on the patio with had been kind of on Anderson all game, being like, it's time, Josh Anderson. Like, you haven't scored since the first game against the Leafs. Well, he was in the right spot. He buried that one. And then, of course, we know what happens in overtime, which, the like you said, the Canadians looked decent in the third. It wasn't as if they were still getting caved in and they had some opportunity. And, you know, the fact that they were carrying a little bit of the game in the third period is what led to them being down in the offensive zone for Marc-Andre Fleury to make that mistake. And then in overtime, it looked like the Vegas Golden Knights realized what had happened and they were about to lose a game that they had dominated the entire time and absolutely should have won. Because the Canadians, they were riding high on that opportunity. They finally came to life in overtime, almost dominated overtime in a way. And then it's Kotkaniemi through the air to thank God Josh Anderson is wicked tall, because that wasn't high sticking. He knocks it down. Byron chasing beautifully, and then Byron with a fake shot and a beautiful pass. Paul Byron, another guy who's becoming a little bit legend if this thing goes the whole way.
Yeah, he's been really good. Him and Armia have been sort of the, you know, every run there's always a couple of, like, bottom six guys who step up and get hot and make a couple of really memorable plays, and they've kind of been those guys. It's funny. We were talking, I think last pod, we were talking about Fleury, and, you know, we said, yeah, he's had a couple of, like, very memorable fuck-ups, but, you know, the record speaks for itself at this point, and he's a Hall of Fame goalie. Obviously, that's still the case, but he's going to do this. He's going to do that kind of stuff once in a while. I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened. He's got a bit of Luongo to him, I guess, would maybe be the best comparison, but... I mean, he's just really bad at playing the puck. I mean, that's really all there is to it. I still can't believe that goal. That was an all-timer.
Do we owe Uber Eats a thank you for that? Is that now that they've broken the curse of Roy Tremblay that the ghosts are back in the building? Because that one felt a little bit like the ghosts are in the building.
I mean, I even ordered from Uber Eats last night. Just coincidence?
Probably. Definitely not. Definitely, there's no way you ordering from the most popular food ordering app on the face of the planet. It's purely coincidence. That has to mean something.
Last night did not do anything to dissuade me from my, this is a team of destiny narrative, all sparked by a new Uber Eats commercial.
Well, it keeps going. But if there's a team of destiny vibe, last night's win is a team of destiny win, because they had no right to win that game in a way. But Carey Price is just a god right now. And if he was at all mortal, then the Canadians, I mean, they would have bowed out a while ago, but certainly in game three, they would have had no chance. But he kept them in, and they found a way, because that seems to be what this team does. And Corey Perry, face bleeding, no call, comes out to celebrate, almost sad that he didn't get to go back out there and do some more Corey Perry things. But that leads me to a conversation. I don't know if you want to have this conversation. You tell me, do we talk about the refs? Because Habs fans are getting quite frustrated now.
And rightfully so, in the sense that there was a lot of bad and missed calls last night. I don't love complaining about the refs, and these things tend to balance out. Like, Toronto fans were pretty salty about the refs after the first round. And, you know, you could argue somewhat rightfully so. I think there's a couple calls that went our way. So, you know, there's a couple missed calls. That I didn't love. I still think it all kind of washes out in the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's one of those things that as soon as we saw Chris Lee was refing the game last night, it was like, oh Christ, like, brace yourself.
And there were a few of those moments for sure. Like the Kotkaniemi holding calls, I thought both of those were legit. Kotkaniemi does that from time to time.
In
a game when a game that's going a little too fast for him, which this series is right now. You know, the one on Pacioretty, pretty obvious. So those I didn't think were so bad. Obviously the missed call in overtime, Corey Perry taking a stick to the face and bleeding on, like, that should have been a 4-minute, but who cares? Like, it turned out that, you know, who knows if we do anything on the 4-minute. What we did do was go out and score soon after that. And, now they're up 2-1, but I'm with you. I don't want to put too much on the refs. Chris Lee is definitely not my favorite. And yes, the calls have probably been somewhat to Vegas's advantage so far this series, but I still think that could even out. And I don't think, I mean, we're up 2-1 and it hasn't really been the difference maker yet. I get why people are mad a little bit about the calls in game three and maybe throughout the series, but the bias is so heavy when you're a fan of a team. Like, every team sees those things, sees it going against them all the time. I struggle always to know what I'm just seeing because I'm watching one team specifically looking for that, and what is kind of a realistic advantage one way or another. And I think it's fair to say Vegas has got a few of the calls right now, but I don't think it's as lopsided perhaps as the conversation from some Habs fans right now. And I know we're going to get shit for that because some people are real pissed at the refs.
Yeah, I thought the missed calls, frankly, were more egregious than anything that got called on us.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
I think there were a few missed calls on Vegas that I really wonder how you get away with that, but it's going to happen. And I mean, listen, you know, when one team outshoots the other, whatever it ended up being, like 45-30 or whatever the hell it was, you know, Vegas had the puck a lot more than Montreal did. Yeah. They were controlling play a lot more than Montreal did. Shots were 45-27. Like, you know, you're gonna draw more penalties if you just have the puck on your stick 2/3 of the time, and that's what happened. Like, this notion that every game needs to end with, you know, essentially both teams having the same amount of penalties, I've never understood that. So yeah, we took a couple last night, but that's gonna happen when the other team's kind of steamrolling you, especially for the first two periods.
One other moment I think worth talking about from the game, or just pointing out for a second, is the hit that Suzuki took and got up and was fine again, because for a moment I was like, ah, shit, that's going to be a problem. But he got up and didn't miss a shift, so that worked out. And another detail that hasn't really got talked about for the Canadians yet, and is, I think, probably needs to be discussed because it's becoming an important part of this story, is the power play once again ineffective for Vegas, as the Habs penalty killed all four power plays in that game, and have been doing so, I forget how many in a row it is now, but it's something like, I don't know, 15 to 20 consecutive power plays that the Canadians have killed or something stupid at this point. Like, the PK has been awesome, and a big part of that's Price, obviously, but I think we got to give credit to everybody.
Yeah, it's been really good, and, you know, the conversation about special teams in the playoffs is always, you know, the game's reffed a little bit differently in the playoffs and they put their whistles away. And if you're a team that relies on your power play, that can be a bit dicey come playoff time. But, you know, the flip side of that equation, which people don't really talk about as much, is the penalty kill. And, you know, our penalty kill's been fantastic. It's really been the difference. You know, even if they're only clipping at a 85% pace instead of 100% pace recently, that's a couple goals, and that's maybe the difference right there, because all these games have been pretty close.
Yeah, exactly. It is the difference. The fact that, you know, when this power play happens, the Habs shut it down. So yeah, the Vegas hasn't scored on 10 power play opportunities in the series so far, and the Habs have shut it down. And going back to the Winnipeg series, I know it goes even longer that they've been solid. So that's a big one. And again, Carey Price, of course, is everything.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's what, you know, you can do a lot worse as far as power plays go than, you know, Max Pacioretty rifling shots from the slot and Pietrangelo quarterbacking things from the blue line. Like, it's a pretty good power play, too.
Another detail was the defensive zone faceoffs looked a lot better in game three. You know, none of them that got through on that Pietrangelo play that they kept running over and over again. Yes, Pietrangelo scores one, but not by losing a faceoff draw and kind of collapsing when they should be boxing out or anything. They seem to have learned from the mistakes of the first two games, at least as far as game three was concerned. So that was good to see, because that was starting to become a big pain in the ass.
Yeah, and I think being at home and having the last change helps out with that as well. But yeah, you're totally right.
Okay, Sunday, game four from Centre Bell. I guess last night when I was messaging everybody, I was like, this guarantees a Saint-Jean game, but it doesn't, because the Habs could technically win the next two, and there is no Saint-Jean game. The Habs put themselves in an interesting spot to be able to, I don't want to guess what's going to happen, but look, there is a chance that the Canadians could clinch a trip to the Stanley Cup final on Saint-Jean, and that would be fucking insane.
So you're saying we should throw game five just to make it a game six?
No, I don't. We do not need. We could. Quebec gets that day off anyway. They get. I think most people get the Friday off as well. Like, it's fine. Everybody can be just basking in a nice day off with no stress about a hockey game. But look, I don't think the Habs are going to beat Vegas 4-1 in this series. I just would be very shocked if that happens. So, you know, I'm telling you, there's a chance.
Yeah, and I mean, usually the season would be over at this point, right?
Yeah,
or
no,
more or less.
No, it's definitely over. They've never played, I don't think, any NHL. Well, I guess maybe last season there was a game on Saint-Jean, I don't remember. But the Habs have definitely never played a game on Saint-Jean.
Yeah, I mean, the season definitely didn't go this late in 93.
No.
So yeah, this could be, man, it's going to be hard to top. It's going to be hard to top last night, but a game six win on the Fight National would maybe do it.
And that game is in Montreal as well. So
yeah, it was, God. Yeah. You wish it was a full house last night, but, those 3,500 made a pretty decent amount of noise, I would say.
All right. So for the first time in this run, the vision of the parade is dancing in our heads a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Just a little bit of parade vision. It's so good. Hey, it's starting to feel real. It certainly feels like this team could do it. It's going to take more miracles from Carey Price. It's going to take more of those magic moments we've seen so far. But they're up 2-1 in the Stanley Cup semifinal, and we haven't been able to say anything like that since 1993, when Julian McKenzie, who was reading in The Athletic last night, or this morning, I guess, after the win, he was like, this is the furthest the Habs, or the best situation the Habs have been in my life. I was like, well, that's impossible. What about 93? And then I realized, oh, he wasn't born in 93. That's what he means by that sentence.
Yeah, it's, very quickly, just, it also kind of makes you realize how hard it is to win the Stanley Cup.
Fuck, I know, eh? Holy shit.
Like, we're not even really that close.
No, we're still only, halfway.
We're two-thirds of the way there in terms of wins.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, to win 16 games in the spring is, it takes a lot of doing. And I've almost got a newfound respect for the teams that have done it, let alone the teams that have done it, you know, multiple times, your Chicago's or your Pittsburgh's or your LA's even. Like, man, it takes a lot to go on one of these runs.
Takes a lot out of me.
You gotta be good. You gotta be good. You gotta be healthy. You gotta be a bit lucky. You gotta stay focused. And you need to do it for. It's a pretty big gauntlet. It's not really like football where it's only four games. Yeah. It's single elimination. It's a grind. It's two separate seasons, really.
Two separate and very different seasons. And this team, I'll say, they seem ready for the grind. They seem, as far as like keeping their focus, sticking to a game plan. I know it didn't look great in game three at times, and by times I mean the first two periods plus, but they never, I don't know, there wasn't really any panic there, I don't think. And even myself, like, for as much as they were outshot in that first period, I wasn't panicked about the game. Like, I really kind of believed that they still had a shot on night. And they fell behind in the game, and they haven't fallen behind and managed to come back and win yet in these playoffs until this game. So they did some different things that they hadn't done at any point. And I just thought, if they keep doing what they're doing, they've got a chance. And then they waited for that lucky moment for Marc-Andre Fleury to remind us all what he's capable of.
I mean, we've been lucky enough, as relatively mediocre as the last 25 years of Habs history have been, we've been lucky enough to have a decent amount of goalies who've stolen games in series.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to watch a goalie steal a game. We watched Theodore do it. We watched Halak do it. We've seen Price do it. And
Chris DeBallier.
That's what yesterday felt. Chris DeBallier, right? Jeff Hackett back in the day. But
Andy Moog.
That's what it felt. I was with you. I wasn't, it was like, all right, guys, you need to wake up a little bit here, but I wasn't panicked either, just because Price was standing on his head, and you can tell sometimes when a goalie is just not going to let more than two goals in.
Yeah.
And I was pretty sure that Price wasn't going to let more than two in. The question was, are we going to score three?
Mm-hmm.
Which looked dicey for a bit, but Price was dialed in, and you could tell pretty much immediately, like, we're going to have a fighting chance if we can somehow manage to get two or three by him.
Yeah. That Petrangelo goal was a soft goal. Like, no doubt about that was not Carey Price's best moment. And somehow that reassured me. I was like, oh, man, he's not going to like that. Now he's locked in for sure. Like, this is where I am with this team in this run, and especially Carey Price now, is kind of believing in strange things. Like, oh, things are going badly for them, and they're still in it. That's good news.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, obviously there's an element of luck involved, and they got a bit lucky last night. Let's not kid ourselves, but that happens. You can go back to every single Stanley Cup winner over the past 25 years, and granted, most of them have had, you know, are probably more talented than this team, but there's always going to be some luck. You can always pinpoint three or four games or moments or shifts or, like, weird gaffes along the way. So, yeah, they got a little bit lucky. They also got a little bit unlucky, and their coach tested positive for COVID 4 hours before the game started, and they didn't have a head coach. So, you know, and they didn't get some calls that could have gone their way from the refs. So, again, even Steven, I think these things tend to balance themselves out. But that was a gift from the hockey god. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know if Marc-Andre Fleury is a hockey god, but he's a good player, and he gave us a nice gift.
Oh, he is now.
He is now. Thank you, Marc-Andre Fleury. Josh Anderson, good to see him get two goals and get back in this thing a little bit with the offense. As much as that Marc-Andre Fleury goal was a gimme, he still could have screwed it up. Something could have happened. Like, it was an instant moment, and he still had to kind of think under that pressure and make it happen. So good on him on that. And then just Paul Byron did a hell of a lot of work on the winner. I'm not going to undersell what Byron did, but Anderson buried it. And things are looking good for your Montreal Canadiens. This is a lovely, lovely spot to be in. As I think we keep texting each other, holy shit.
Yeah, I'm married now. I don't send too many embarrassing late night texts.
I don't know about that.
But I do have embarrassing late night tweets, and prophetic. No. Check out my Twitter feed. I was pretty damn sure we were winning the Stanley Cup last night.
Well, hey, we're on the way. It's the best it's been in a long, long time. Let's at least enjoy that.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll do it for this episode of The Recency Bias with special guest Sean O'Neill. You're a special guest on this one. If I call it The Recency Bias, you're a special guest. If it's The Big Pod, you're just another guy.
I appreciate that.
All right. Who knows? You know, we may get you back soon if the wins keep coming.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's a good time to be a Habs fan, and it must be a shitty time to be a Leafs fan, because I was one of the things I was thinking today as I was rocking my Habs shirt around the city of Toronto once more is, by around, I mean around my block while I walk my dog, is that, you know, I would be beside myself right now if the Maple Leafs are up 2-1 on Vegas, based on, and especially if a game like that went their way. Like,
yeah.
It's got to be rough to see for them, because they still think they're the better team than us and deserve to be there. So this is great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I don't know. Don't know what it's like in Toronto, but I went for a pretty decent walk in Ottawa today, and there was a lot of Habs flags and hats and shirts and, you know, high fives from passing strangers type thing.
Yeah, there's got to be there's definitely a ton of Montreal fans in Ottawa. I mean, there's enough here, too, that I'm not the only person out there with the Habs swag right now, just walking around the city with our heads held high, poo-pooing on all the sad little people. All right, that's a pod. Habs up 2-1, game 4, Sunday night. This was fun, Sean. Thanks for stopping by.
This was very fun. Anytime.
We'll keep it going. Not anytime. Come on. That's not.
Sometimes. Once in a while.
Sometimes. All right. Take care, everybody.